This is Kenny Porter from SequentialReview.com, and you're listening to the Sequential Review Podcast. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the next episode of Sequential Review. And today, I have a very special guest with me, my good friend, former comic enthusiast, Jordy Shaver. How are you doing today, Jordy?
Doing good.
Doing good. Thanks a lot for coming. This is only the second episode. I know we couldn't pay you a lot or put you in a really fancy green room or anything.
I thought the green room was pretty fancy.
You did? Okay. I'm sorry that you had to share it with about 15 other people.
Yeah.
From other various shows here in the studio. Well, you know, they need a place. They're very large. They need somewhere to store them. And I said, you can put them in my green room until the line at Old Country Buffet shortens a bit and they can fit in there. Until you just page me with one of those little food pager things. Like, tables are ready and I'll shuffle them out of there one at a time. That's why there wasn't any food in there. I had, like, a bunch of, like, vegetables and stuff, but they just scomped them down. That's how hungry they were.
The open bar was sweet, though.
Yeah, the open bar was good. They wouldn't touch the liquor, but they ate all the vegetables. That's how hungry they were. They were so hungry, being huge obese people, that they actually ate their vegetables. So it might have actually done them some good to be locked in that room for a little while. But enough with fat people and vegetables. We're here to talk about comic books. Now, I didn't really have too much. I just wanted to do this as like an open forum. So, for those listening out there, we didn't really plan anything, like, big time. We were just mainly going to talk about, like, some of the off-kilter books that we like, you know, the non-big superhero stuff. But that's usually how people get into it. How did you get into comics, Jordy?
I don't know. I've been reading comics, like, all my life. My dad had a big comic book collection. Mm-hmm.
That's about the same that happened with me.
Like, yeah, just like... Some. Then my aunt gave me a bunch of comic books, because she used to collect them, too. And then,
oh really?
This dude I know just gave me a bunch of comic books, and I just had a huge collection. Like,
people were enabling
easily.
You
yeah.
by just giving them to you. Really, like, have this. You look like you should have this. Just handing them to you. Did you have any favorites and stuff when you were younger? Or?
I was pretty into like Marvel stuff,
mm-hmm.
like just basically Spider-Man, whatever I get my hands on. Really, like old shit, like Rom, the space dude robot thing.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had a lot of Marvel books when I was younger, too. Like, I could always get, like, the Untold Tales of Spider-Man for, like, 25 cents at the comic book store in Grand Haven.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it was West... Did you ever go to West Michigan Sports Card when that was...
Yeah, for Grand sure. Haven?
Yeah, near Washington. Those old people, man. The two old people who owned it would just, like, give me free ones because I go there, like, every day with big things to change. And they're like, man, you really want these? So I was like, yes, please. And it's like, I need to run home and get another quarter. In order to pay for this book,
I used to roll pennies to buy magic cards there.
Oh, really?
Like, just yeah, I had mm-hmm. a magic card problem.
Probably yeah, an addiction.
Yeah,
I never got into magic cards, but I always wanted to. For my senior pictures, the photographer that I had was mad because I wanted to do one with a picture of me, like with a shield and like an axe.
And he's like, "You're not even a collector, bro."
Well, no, he was just like, he was like, why do you want to do that? I was like, because I want to make it like a Magic the Gathering card and put like stats and moves at the bottom like that. And he was like, that is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. You're going to go get your picture taken by the pier and by the train tracks like everybody else like that. And I was like, I don't want to do
tall
that.
It's beach grass.
Yeah. I also wanted to do a Blade Runner picture where I was going to be like up against a brick wall sweating with a big gun and then have two people, like blurry people running after me from an alley. They're like, nope. I was like, those would have been the best fucking pictures ever.
Yeah, you would. Yeah.
Uh-huh. All the ladies would have been like, he's got the hot Blade Runner picture. But yeah, so after that, now did you, because I kind of dropped off of it from a while, like when I was a kid I wanted to be a comic book artist and stuff, but then like throughout the years I just kind of forgot about them. Like I would always kind of check up to see what characters were doing, but it wasn't until like a few years ago when just out of boredom, I picked up some stuff at a newsstand and, like, started jumping back into it.
I periodically get, like, bored of it, and then, like, I don't know, just out of nowhere, just be like, oh, yeah, comic books. What's going on in the comic book world?
Yeah.
And then, like,
yeah. I'm in one of those things again where I'm like, things like are cool
every
again.
2 years or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. That about seems right. Like, you just kind of like, I'm sick of following it. I'll wait till something else happens where I want to jump back in. Because they're always just like, event this and event that. Mainly with the superhero stuff. Like, they're just like, Civil War.
Yeah, shit's played.
Yeah.
Mondo played.
Yeah. And just like, we don't need events all the time. Like, just sometimes
they're cool.
Just give me
they're
a good
cool.
Story.
Like, back in the day when they were like every 10 years, like every 5 years.
Something big would happen. Yeah. Like Infinite Crisis or something like that, where like the whole fucking universe is gonna eat itself unless we do something. And now it's just like the X-Men are at home and somebody didn't buy milk and now everybody's pissed. Come and see the lactose event. Marvel. Lactose intolerance. I'm gonna pitch that to Marvel for
$5,000.
It's an X-Men thing. Where like they were divided before, but see how divided they get now. It was like, we need to use the milk for mac and cheese. We need to use it for homemade ice cream. Some mac and cheese and ice cream camps, man.
And then all the other characters get involved. It'll be
Spider-Man, of course, will be the deciding factor, as he is in every Spider-Man thing. I mean, in every Marvel thing. Even though he's not the most powerful character, he's the favorite. So it always comes down to who's Spider-Man siding with.
Yeah.
Do you think he's a bigger mac and cheese fan or a bigger ice cream fan?
Mac and cheese, I'd say. Sure.
It's more, you know, he needs to watch his dairy intake, like his sugar intake. Cause
yeah.
He's got a lot of stuff he's got.
He's got a lot of, like, spider, like, biological makeup going on.
Yeah. Mac and cheese, I think, would probably be easier on a spider's thighs than ice cream.
For sure.
But we were going to talk about, like, I mean, I love superhero books, don't get me wrong. I love DC and Marvel for both different reasons. Yeah. DC's always been more to me, like...
Yeah, I like DC way more.
Mm-hmm. Well, everybody's always had the big debate, like, oh, DC's better, Marvel's better, but I think, like, for DC, DC has always had the really good stories of, like, people you aspire to be.
Right,
like,
yeah.
You aspire to be as, like, hard on crime as Batman is, or, like, as willing to use willpower to get over obstacles in your life, like Green Lantern and stuff, whereas with Marvel is all about, like, it's who you are. Like, Marvel tries to, like, it doesn't say, like, try to be more than anything that you are. It's like, this is who you are. You're Peter Parker because your life sucks and you got a bajillion things to do. So that's just, like, the dichotomy of it all. But as far as, like, things go, I usually lean towards DC just because I've always, like, since I'm wearing a Batman shirt right now.
Right.
So, like, I've always just been more into Batman and stuff. Watching, like, the animated series and stuff growing up.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Yeah. I watched it again recently, just as good, if not better, than when I watched it as a kid.
Oh, dude, I believe it.
Yeah.
I bet there are nuances that I did not pick up on.
Well, like, I read all about how, like, it won a bunch of Emmys for, like, TV storytelling and everything, because they treated every episode like a mini-movie. Like, sometimes, like, he wouldn't even be in it. He'd just be, like, a shadowy figure
for
a minute. And all of the drawing was drawn on black paper to give it that real, like, dark look. So they painted and did all the drawings on black just so that, like, where they didn't draw, there was absence of color, like, heavy ink. Like, I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, that is sweet.
Mm-hmm. But I did want to talk about some more off-kilter books, like, series that aren't, like, superhero stuff. Because most people, when they think of comics, especially American comics, it's just, like, Superman, Iron Man, and something man almost all the time.
Something
like, some sort of superhero. But there are a lot of great...
Had a movie come out in the last
year. Yeah, just like, come see this hunky actor play this thing, and maybe it'll be pretty close to the source material, but who cares, because you'll go see it.
Yeah.
Because you'll give us your money. You dumb fuck! I can't tell if that was me doing a Chinese American
impression. I thought it was a Chinese.
Yeah, sure. I don't know why I did it like that. I guess he runs Marvel Studios, some Chinese guy. You'll give us money for Marvel! You like big Avenger movie? We give you a big Avenger movie. You'll see. I feel so sorry that, like, a lot of people who come, like, fly over here from any Asian country have to work in Chinese food restaurants, like buffets. Because, like, I just went to one and, like, I sat in a chair and went to go pull it up and I pinched my fingers because the chair was broken from heavy people sitting in it all the time. Like, the legs.
Was it the Asian buffet?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The aptly named Asian buffet out by the mall where we live. But yeah, I just like went and I stood up, I looked at the chair, and the chair just like tilted, like slanted to the side like the Leaning Tower of Pisa. All the all the legs on it, just like it wants to give up for all the people that come there, because they just go there and like they just pile all the... That's me hating fat America, because I used to be a big fat guy and I lost a bunch of weight, but now... It's weird, dude, because you've pretty much always been a slim dude. We're gonna.
I got a little bit of a gut going. It seems.
Yeah,
like.
But I mean, compare. No, dude, you're a slim dude.
I almost have man tits.
Yeah, well, I mean,
they're liftable.
They're liftable. but as far as like build goes, though, pretty. All right. You're not a fat guy or anything like that by any means.
Yeah, I don't get mistaken for.
For fat people. Yeah, like, I know a fat guy, like, somebody's like, hey, aren't you that fat guy I know? No, because you're not fat. Like, they mistake you for that. But, like, I anybody would ever say that. Hey, aren't you that fat guy I know? Oh, no, you're a different fat guy. Sorry. Which is harder to...
That's the first thing I'm going to say to somebody.
Aren't you that fat guy I know? I'm going to say that to somebody who isn't fat today. That'll make them really question the way they look. Like, oh my God, I'm fat? I didn't know
Fuck.
Son of a bitch. All right, we just had a double fuck up on this recording. Where I fucked up once and I fucked up again because I hit a goddamn button. Watch the buttons you hit, children. It could really mess up your future. I had this preset as a template, so the ending music was at a specific time, and we've gone farther than that, which is fine, but it started playing, and I freaked out, and I stopped it, but then I started recording over where the music's supposed to go, so it would have faded out, and then we would have heard nothing for the rest of the time, because I'm a fucking idiot, so I did that. But, okay, back to the topic at hand. So, some of the more off-kilter books, I don't know how you got introduced to, like, some of the other genres in comics, like drama and all that stuff, or... More like I guess you'd call it like realistic fiction with that sort of things. It actually happened to me through different types of Japanese manga. I was introduced to like more of the dramatic stuff or more of the realistic fiction, and then I worked my way into the American stuff. Like a lot of stuff from Vertigo.
Yeah,
like,
Vertigo. Is
yeah, that's one of my go-to publishers now.
Yeah, they're the shit. Yeah,
I get more excited about stuff they put out than any of the studios. Because
the shit they put out is like all like brilliant shit.
All the creators. Are just fucking, they like you could just lift the top of their heads up and there's just crazy golden clockwork going on.
Yeah.
Lubricated with liquid silver just to propel the stuff. We use that shit as oil. Pouring that stuff on there. Is there any Vertigo titles like recently that you've been checking out that you've really enjoyed?
I haven't really checked anything out recently. Other than I started reading Swamp Thing, which is old and like kind of superhero-y, I guess, but not really.
They've kind of been trying to include him in the DC
canon
of stuff, like him and John Constantine. They're actually going to be when DC does its reboot. I don't know if Swamp Thing is, but I know that John Constantine's going to be part of a Justice League team. Isn't that kind of weird?
Yeah.
It's going to be called Justice League Dark, which is going to be like all of the magic characters.
Oh, great.
Yeah, so it's going to be like him, Zatanna. Yeah, and Deadman.
Oh, Deadman's cool.
Yeah, he's gotten a lot of popularity lately.
Yeah.
Like, he's become a cooler character. I think Swamp Thing got, like, named one of, like, the protectors of the planet because of the whole White Lantern thing.
Oh, weird.
He got, because, like, there was, like, some forest that grew, like, completely out of it, and he was, like, was dubbed, like, because he's, like, closer to the Earth than anybody, like, a hippie.
Right, yeah.
I'm really close to the Earth.
Closer
I'm made out of plants. Yeah.
Closer to the Earth.
Well, are there some past Vertigo titles that, like, got you really excited about other genre ones?
Dude, Sandman is, like, the best series of all time of anything.
Neil
like,
Gaiman's of, Sandman?
Yeah.
Oh.
Dude. Mm-hmm. Dude, yeah. That's my favorite. I started getting into 100 Bullets, but I still haven't collected all of them.
Yeah, I recently started reading that, too, by Brian Azzarello.
Started off sweet. I don't know if it stays sweet.
I've only read the first trade paperback, so
I've read the first three.
Like, six of them, but I haven't read them yet.
Oh, man. There's like 13 volumes of that.
Mm-hmm.
But, did you ever read Bone?
No, everybody always raves about that.
I have that one. You can borrow that one. It's sweet.
What's that about?
It's like this weird little like white cartoon dude that's like, I don't know, they take him out of a setting that's kind of like Animaniacs looking.
Yeah.
And then puts it into like, I don't know, Lord of the Ringsy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's really cool. It's really cool.
So he gets, like, dropped in the middle of a clusterfuck of monsters and stuff basically. Like that? Yeah, basically. I'd see the shit out of that.
It'll probably come out in, like, 2013. Mm-hmm. Big, like, trilogy of shitty movies.
Oh.
Directed by fucking Michael Bay.
You were at my stand-up thing where I talked about the Michael Bay film school, right? With just the box of action figures and just going, you getting this shit down? Or like me being a script editor for him and he just sent me pages of pictures of explosions from textbooks. Or ones he drew himself in crayon.
It's fucking Shia LaBeouf. What do you mean?
Yeah. Well, as far as comic book movies go, like, have there been some that you thought were really good and then some that you think that they just completely dropped the ball and kind of murdered any chance of...
Oh, Watchmen was good. I don't know.
Now, here's something interesting about that. Like, because I was talking about this actually earlier today with somebody else. Do you like the way that they changed... They didn't change the ending, but they changed the means to the ending in the movie? Did you like that ending better? Did you like the book ending better?
I don't know. Like, I felt like a little pissed off, a little betrayed that they changed it, but I don't know. I guess it... No, I like the other one.
You like the book way better. Yeah. The thing I think they went with that with is because, like, in order to show, like, the whole evolution, well, you would have gained and lost a couple of things if you'd done that way, because they didn't have any of the stuff in the original cut in the theater about the Black Freighter or the guy who wrote it or how he had been, like, kidnapped and forced to write the backstory of that big alien monster and the whole thing with, like, the psychics and the genetic stuff. And I guess, like, within the confines of time, it would make more sense to just blame it on Dr. Manhattan. But then, like, nobody understood, like...
Yeah, I felt like, why the fuck would Dr. Manhattan just do that shit?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
And nobody understood, like, who Bubastis was. Like, whenever he came out, you'd be like, what the fuck is that thing? Because they didn't talk about how he did, like, all the genetic splicing and stuff, which was supposed to be a clue, and that's the whole genesis of the big squid alien monster thing. So I thought that like they kind of lost and gained a little bit with it. For fans, it was a really good adaptation. For general audiences, like people, and for nobody I talked to could get over the fact that he wasn't wearing pants. They're just like, oh, this big blue dick is in my face. I was like, it is literally just a part of how he dresses. There's no part where he's giant and the thing is just, like, in your face.
Yeah.
Like, I was just... And they're like, why is he fucking wearing pants? And I was like, because he can't feel temperature. Like, there's no need for him to be in clothes.
Why the fuck would you wear pants, man?
He was a god at that point. Like, he can't feel any sort of temperatures or anything. Barely feels feelings. Like, what the fuck does he care if you see his wang?
He'll just fucking zap you, dude.
Yeah. He'll just be like, pew, atomized. Yeah. All that cool little effects and particles flying everywhere. Yeah, I felt like that one was pretty good. Were there any other ones that you felt were pretty good? Are you a big fan of the newer Batman movies?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I just saw the trailer for the other one, Harry Potter. The new one that's coming out.
Did they have was it the trailer with Gordon in the bed?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there another one? Or is that the only trailer out?
There was another one where it just showed the symbol and they were kind of talking about it like they did the first time the Dark Knight trailer came out. I only saw like a bootleg version of... the one where Gordon's in the bed. I guess they said, I couldn't see it in the version I was watching, but they said there was like a shot of Bane and Catwoman in it.
Yeah, there's like a really, really fucking quick shot of Bane. I didn't see Catwoman. Maybe I just wasn't paying attention.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But yeah. Pretty quick. It went quickly.
It was quick. I didn't see it. Were there any ones you think that were just completely horrible besides the Fantastic Four movies?
All of them. I don't know. Daredevil. I didn't even really like the Spider-Man movies.
No.
Like, the first one was cool, and then not so cool after that, I thought.
Have you seen the stuff from the new one?
No.
From the reimagined one? I'm very excited for it after seeing the photos from it. The suit is like a mixture. You remember in the 90s when Ben Reilly became Spider-Man for a while and Peter Parker quit? It's like a mix between the modern suit and then that 90s version, kind of, where there's a lot more blue trim to it and everything. And he just like Andrew Garfield looks a lot more like, I'm going to pull it up online here and then just kind of describe what I'm seeing. Who had it on there? Cooper did. Like they have some pictures of Kurt Connors like turning into the Lizard and stuff. Here we go. And I don't know, just the kid, Andrew Garfield looks more like the comic book version of Peter Parker to me. Not that Tobey Maguire didn't do a pretty good job. I agree with you that, like, I liked the, when the first movie came out, I was just like, I have nothing else to live for. Because like, right, Spider-Man was like my favorite thing ever, and I was like, they made a fucking movie. But, hang on, let me get, as soon as this fully loads, my computer's been acting like a dick lately. But, yeah, I like the new suit is a little less like, we had a movie guy do it, and more like, we had a,
yeah.
You know, let me show you. It's a little more streamlined. As far as a lot of blue on it and everything, a lot like the Ben Reilly costume. And they're going with the actual origin. He just, like, kind of stands more like a spider than Tobey Maguire did.
Yeah,
as you can see in these pictures. It's him with the... He actually has the web shooters in this, too. Like,
oh, nice. Up. Yeah. That was my biggest problem, I think.
With him having powers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Them being organic. There's him all fucked up, probably after fighting the lizard. There's him up on a roof of a train. It's like, and there's, God, I can raise Afon, whatever. Yeah, Raze Afons or whatever is Kurt Connors. Like, I think they had one when he was, oh no, I guess they didn't. I saw one somewhere where he's like crawling. You can see his eyes starting to change and stuff. So I'm pretty pumped about that. But I like the art direction of the new movie, at least so far.
Yeah, it looks cool, man. Mm-hmm.
I give it a shot. Yeah, because with those movies, it just kind of, like, it started to become, like, a corporate fucking nightmare by, like, the third one where...
Yeah. I didn't even see that one.
You did not miss anything.
I just stopped having interest in those fucking movies. Mm-hmm. Or, like, yeah, Fantastic Four.
It was horrible.
Green Lantern. I was even never... X-Men movies. Like,
yeah.
X-Men 3 sucked.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about this.
See, I always had that over thing. A lot of people were, like... Oh, I fucking loved it. I was like, it was like a real bad episode of the cartoon. Like,
yeah.
It was just all really
nothing
thrown
really
in there.
Happened.
I liked First Class a lot up until the ending of it, because at the end they kind of like force everybody to pick a side. At the end, it's just like, oh, all of a sudden we're good and you're bad. That's it. It just kind of felt rushed to me, like it should have been. The first three quarters of it were really cool and stylish, and it was like, we should do this whole like, oh, is Magneto gonna turn yet thing? Just right. Like, it was just like somebody telling you they're gonna have foreplay with you, but then just sticking it right in. Like, just not even, they're just lying to you. He's like, no, baby, I swear, I'm gonna get you all ready, and then just bam, boom. Yeah.
Just like, ass take ripped. That.
Yeah. Just like, doesn't even let her know that he's doing it.
Her or him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not prejudiced. If it's a dude and another dude, that's completely fine. In my America. Speaking of America, what do you think of the Captain America movie?
Like the way it looks? I haven't even seen anything about it.
I saw that. I think it looks... It's a lot... Well, they've done it as a period piece, too, with this one. And they focused a lot more on, like, cinematography and the look of it to make it look like a big, like, 1940s movie as far as, like, color and architecture and stuff like that. So I'm interested to see how they do it like that, where they take...
Does it take place in the 40s, or is it supposed to be, like, modern day after he's, like, unfroze?
It's in the 40s.
All right, that's way cooler.
Yep. It starts out with them finding him frozen, and then it goes over his whole story.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Because without even having seen the movie, I already know that, like...
Are they still doing an Avengers movie?
Yeah, that's why. This is called The First Avenger. And then so they unthaw him and then do the whole, like...
And then the Hulk's going to be on it somehow.
Yeah.
In the span of a movie, he's going to learn how to, like, not be the fucking Hulk and be, like, the chilled-out Hulk.
The one that can talk.
I don't see that happening.
No. It'll probably just be, like, them having to get him mad.
I hope he's the fucking enemy and he fucking kills everybody.
Yeah. That's what I had heard. It was the original premise, was it was them trying to catch him.
I approve of that.
Because it would just be like, yeah, I approve. I'm Jordy Shaver and I approve this movie idea. Or it'd just be like, that's what I heard the
dude,
original
premise. What about them changing the comic book version of Nick Fury to look more like Sam Jackson? How do you feel about that?
You mean the Ultimate?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, was Nick Fury in Ultimate Universe beforehand as a black guy? And then they just kind of drew him closer to... Because I had never really gotten into Ultimate Marvel.
It sucks, dude.
Yeah, it's weird.
It sucks.
Ultimate Spider-Man just died a couple weeks ago.
Good.
Yeah.
I'm glad.
Yeah, some people love that series, but like... They made a lot of weird decisions for, like, the Ultimate Universe. Like, Wolverine's a big pervert in it.
Have you read The Ultimates?
Mm-mm.
It's stupid. It's like The Avengers, but it's fucking stupid, dude. I don't know.
Yeah. Hate it.
Which brings me back to our topic, which is why I got out of superhero comics, basically, other than, like, I don't know. I haven't read a single one in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I think, I don't know.
I just don't know. You don't know of any that would... Is there something that they could be doing differently that would bring you back to reading? Because me, like, as far as, like, big whole universes go, I don't like what a lot of writers do, but I have found a few titles in each of, like, DC and Marvel that that are written by good.
I don't know. I just don't even give them a chance, mostly.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many other good shit that you can be reading. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know.
Have you read Fables at all yet, or...?
I read the first issue of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have one of the trade paperbacks of Jack of Fables.
Oh, yeah.
But it's, so, like, the second one, so I didn't really know what was going on for a minute. But,
oh, okay. Yeah, I was just reading that one, actually.
The it's pretty sweet.
Vegas.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that one's awesome. I just read another Fables miniseries called Cinderella from Fable Town with Love, where it's like a James Bond spy thriller.
Oh, dude, that sounds awesome.
Like, she and Aladdin have to stop like a bunch of illegal arms dealing between here and the Fables universe.
Dude, that title's awesome. Mm-hmm. All those Vertigo titles are awesome.
I know.
Wait, have you read Transmetropolitan?
No, I've seen it advertised a bunch of times, but I never...
It's pretty cool.
What's that one about?
It's like this cyberpunk futuristic version of like Hunter S. Thompson, basically.
So is it kind of like a William Gibson kind of thing? Like Johnny Mnemonic sort of, not necessarily the movie. Do you ever read anything by William Gibson?
No.
He like invented sort of like the cyberpunk movement in the 90s. Like Johnny Mnemonic was originally a short story he wrote. They turned into a movie with
Keanu Reeves.
Yeah, Keanu Reeves. He did some other famous ones, but so it's like a cyberpunk kind of take on the Hunter S. Thompson.
Yeah, he's like a fucking just crazy ass gonzo journalist, and like, I don't know, hilarity ensues.
Mm-hmm. Is there like a big overarching story, or does it kind of just follow his life?
I haven't read all of it.
Okay. There's
about as many volumes as any other title.
But what you saw, you liked.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely in the recommend stack.
Dude, I read this series called The Exterminators.
Oh, yeah, you were talking to me about that.
Yeah, that one's really sweet, but it got cut short, like, in half. Like, it was supposed to be, like, a 10-volume fucking however many issues that is series. Mm-hmm. I think it's like 60 or some shit.
Yeah, there's about 4 or 5 per trade paperback, and usually Vertigo lets somebody do, like, Jack of Fables was about 50. And DMZ, that series is about to end pretty soon at Vertigo.
Oh, that one's
cool.
I going
to be about 60
I'm going to read more of that one.
Oh, it's so fucking awesome. It's probably the most realistic look at, like, what would happen if we had a second American Civil War.
Right.
How bullshit it would be. How fast America could go like that to a third world country, like, yeah, as far as, like, the look of it on the inner big cities. Oh, it's scary to think about. But I do love that
kinda
series.
Kind of sweet to think about.
Did it get cut, you think, just because not a lot of people were buying Exterminators? Or?
Yeah, because, I mean, like, it doesn't sound like something that is cool.
Yeah.
Because it's got, like, roaches on the cover and shit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, like, it's about these Exterminators, and I don't know, man. It's cool. There's this, like...
It's just cool. That's all you need to know.
There's, like... there's so much shit going on in it, and they lay the groundwork for, like, this really... epic fucking story. Mm-hmm. And then it just gets canceled, and then they have to cut it short, so the last volume like sucks.
Did they just try really to wrap
rushed.
It all up?
Even the art looks really rushed, and
yeah
it sucks. But everything up until that point is pretty cool. It's just these crazy exterminators, and they're like fucking against these roaches, which are like smarter and bigger, and I don't know, but
they're fighting like super roaches.
Yeah, like in the bit, like a big swarm of them and shit. Because there's this blue gel shit that's like the, what do you call it, to get rid of roaches. What do you call that?
Pesticide?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's now like, I don't know, they've adapted to it.
Oh,
and now
okay.
They're like super stronger because of it. It sounds like corny, but, and it is corny, but it's like a cool corny.
Mm-hmm.
like a gritty.
Every bit of science fiction needs a little cheese sprinkled on top to make it taste good. Cheese makes everything better, whether you want to admit it or not.
Simultaneously, it's a like really deadly fucking intravenous drug. This blue gel. This guy like shoots it up, and I don't know. He dies. It's cool. Then he comes back, and then there's like all these like ancient fucking like prophecies about the bugs. I don't know.
But then none of it ever comes to fruition because they canceled the fucking book.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
Weak.
Mm-hmm. So dumb. Do you delve into any of the Japanese comics at all?
Not a whole lot, just because they're like... They're like something like $8 and you can read them in like 2 minutes. So, yeah. I don't know.
I've never really
felt like buying them.
Yeah. We can get a lot at the library. That's how I started. At your local library. I got some, or you can find them usually for sale. Like, I got a bunch over on the shelf behind me. And you get those in any genre. I actually, it's funny you say that, because there's something about the way that they pace theirs that makes it read faster.
Yeah.
I've been writing my own comics and producing them, and I tried to imply that into my panel pacing. And it seems like, I don't know how I learned how to do it, but like, when people look at the artwork, like, God, my eyes just like, flow right over the page. It's just like I kind of tried to follow it. Is but you're right, like I'll spend like $12 on a manga collection, like a volume, and I'll just read through the fucking thing in 40 minutes and be like, oh well, I guess I gotta wait 4 months for the next collection of issues to come out.
Which ones do you read?
Let's see, I like a lot of stuff by this girl named Natsume Ono, who does a lot of dramatic stuff. One of my favorite ones was Not Simple, which is actually the first thing I ever reviewed for this website, which is a story. Oh, yeah, I bring it around back there, back in time. It's about a little kid from Australia originally who grew up in England, and his parents have always been kind of a dick to him and stuff, and he's always kind of suspected that his older sister might be his mom, but nobody ever really told him. And she's been in prison over in America, and she got released, and he can't get a hold of her, so he goes to America and, like, walks the country looking for her.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, and it's the real main, the way you see the story is through the eyes of this reporter named Jim, who is also from England, who moved to America, and, like, the kid keeps coming back to his apartment and staying with him while he's going around looking for him, like, telling him what's happened so far. And so, like, he's agreed to let him write his life as a novel when it's over. Like, when his whole journey is over, and just, like, horrible fucking thing after horrible thing happens to this kid while he's out looking for his sister.
Dude, you gotta let me read that.
Oh, yeah, you can borrow it, like, right when you leave here.
I remember we talked about that one night at the bar when we were very drunk, and
yeah.
I was like, I can't remember the name of it. Kenny's got a book that I want to read.
Real bad. But she writes a lot of good stuff. And then another one of my favorites was What a Wonderful World, which is influenced by this writer and artist who liked music a lot. And he, like, instead of issues, he called them tracks, each one of his things. And it was about a bunch of... It was weird. The first and last stories have kind of a supernatural element to them, but the rest are just, like, following the day-to-day lives of these people in their early 20s, like, having quarter-life crises over what they should be doing with their lives. And, like, some of them make the wrong decisions, some make the right decisions. So it was kind of just about how little itty-bitty encounters with people affect, like, how you decide the rest of your life, like, what you should be doing or whether you should just give up and stuff like that. So I thought that was really cool.
Dude, that's sweet. I just like the idea of getting away from, like, superhero being equated to comic book and just, like, I don't know, just anything that's a good story that's interesting that you'd want to read.
As a medium.
Yeah, like, I don't know, I would rather read a book with pictures than a book without pictures, it turns out. Maybe that's, if that's childish, that's childish, but I kind of feel like it's like forward thinking, like, I don't know.
If you put the best writer in the world together and the best artist in the world, you just have a great comic book, that's all you'd have. That's what it comes down to. I love Neil Gaiman's novels just as much as I love his comics.
Me too.
Yeah. I just started reading American Gods.
Dude, I hear that one's sweet.
Yeah, I want to get it done because I hear they're going to turn it into an HBO series.
Oh, yeah, I heard that too.
So I want to read it before it comes out because every time I'm like, oh, I should read that book. Like, there's going to be a movie or a TV show. I'm like, fuck, now I have to read it. Like,
there's a sequel to it too, I think.
Oh, Anansi Boys?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to have to check that out too. Fuck, there's just so many things for me
to
read.
I have this Neil Gaiman book that's by him and Terry Pratchett or
something? Oh, Good Omens?
Good Omens. Yeah. It's so sweet, dude. It's written kind of like Douglas Adams style.
Yeah, Terry Pratchett had written some very Douglas British Adams humor. Inspired stories, like some... Did you read The Hitchhiker's
story? Not all of them.
Not all of it. There's a ship in it that they talk about a lot called the Starship Titanic.
Yeah.
And Terry Pratchett wrote a novel based on that part of the books.
Oh, nice. With
Douglas Adams' permission.
But yeah, I don't know. Cool. British people are good writers for some reason in the comic book world.
Yeah, like, they are. They don't get a lot of credit. Like, there aren't a lot of British
original. A lot of those, like, adult comics are, like, written by people coming out of Britain.
Alan Moore, Neil Gaiman.
I think Warren Ellis.
Yep, I was just going to say Warren Ellis.
Grant Morrison.
Oh, dude, Grant Morrison stuff. Like, as far as, like, when somebody who's intelligent does write superhero stuff goes, did you ever read All-Star Superman, his story about that?
No.
Basically, it's about Superman, like, during a routine, like, saving somebody thing, he gets too close to the sun for too long, gets cancer. And it's in a very different way where it's accelerating his powers to the point where, like, now he's, like, four times as powerful as he ever were, but it's burning his body out. Like, it's upped his metabolism to a point where his body is eating itself. Oh, so it's dude. His, like, last year on Earth where he can get everything he wanted to do done before he dies at the end.
See, that's the cool thing about all these British writers is that they, like, starting, like, way back with, like, Alan Moore doing Miracle Man and then, like, Neil Gaiman doing Black Orchid and shit like that. Mm-hmm. They, like, take these old stale characters and then they, like, write a cool story for it and, like, bring it more to, like, real life than what it used to be. I don't know. I like that shit.
Yeah, I do too. I like it when they take, like, when they take it and shake it up.
Yeah.
What is it? Grant Morrison also invented, but he started a new Batman and Robin title where Batman was Dick Grayson. Like, his Batman, and Robin was Bruce's son, Damian. So, like, the two of them, like, a former Robin as Batman and then a brand new Robin. And, like, them having to, like, learn how to work together and stuff. And, like, Dick refuses to use the old cave or anything because it's just got too many memories.
Have you checked that out? Is that any good?
Yeah, I have almost all the issues of it. The artwork. The same guy who does the artwork for All-Star Superman did the first run, like, the first year of that. And then a new writer who I really like, too, named Peter J. Tomasi took over after that. And he writes a lot of, like, Green Lantern Corps and stuff. And then an example of an American writer who kind of did that same thing, Jeff Johns. He took over a Green Lantern in, like, 2005. And he took it from, like, all of the obscurity of, like, none of it made any sense, all the background, and he retold it and, like, made it all more condensed, and now it's, like, a big space opera epic. It's, like, DC's best-selling title now.
Really?
Because it's, like, Star Wars, like, the way
that... See, I'm not even, like, very familiar with anything Green Lantern after, I had a few Kyle Rayner books, but I didn't even really, like...
Yeah, this is the post-Kyle Rayner, because everybody was just, like... They weren't selling very well, but they weren't selling bad, so they weren't really doing anything to it. And he was like, you know...
Which is exactly, like, how I feel about it. It was okay, I mean...
Yeah, that's... The Kyle Rayner books were like, yeah, it's kind of cool. He's a little more creative with the ring, but, like, he had that real dorky black costume for a while with the really weird thing on the side.
Like really blocky, it felt like. I don't know.
But yeah, now they've, like, they've redone it so that it's more like the way it was intended to be, where there's, like, the thousands of them again, and it's more about big epic, like, them going up against whole giant fleets of ships and stuff in space, like, you know, more of the Star Wars-ish thing that it was before.
Dude, yeah, that sounds sweet.
Mm-hmm. I have a bunch of that, too, if you ever want to read it. Like, that, like, reinvested, like, I was always kind of, like, just a fan of Green Lantern's powers, but, like, when Jeff Johns took over, and he's a Michigan boy, so that's all, that's all the better fucking
hometown hero.
Yeah. When he did that, I was just like, fuck, you can really take these characters and rewrite them and make it really good.
You could do it with anybody.
Yeah. But you just need a good writer. That's the whole thing. It's just like, just let these British boys sort of walk in. And that's what DC's trying to do with the reboot, because the guy who does, who did 100 Bullets, Brian Azzarello, they're giving him a Wonder Woman.
Oh.
So, like, he's writing that. Like,
I bet that'll be cool, man.
Yeah. I've seen the artwork and stuff for it. It's way different than any Wonder Woman series you've ever seen. Like, it looks like a Vertigo title. Like,
for that's sweet, because if you ask me, like, which character do I not give at all of a fuck shit about? Yeah, it would be a Wonder Woman.
And that's what the sales say, too. Nobody gives a shit. So that's why, like, they're taking a bunch of people who usually write Vertigo stuff. give it to him. Like, Grant Morrison's going to be the, like, Superman writer from now on. Jeff Johns is still going to do Green Lantern. I don't remember all the other, like, a lot of writers from Vertigo are gonna tackle superhero books also on top of... Because, like, Vertigo trade paperbacks sell better than the DC ones do.
Well, yeah, dude. They're, like, I don't know. They look more interesting. You pick it up and you're like, holy shit.
Have you ever read Why the Last Man?
I read a little bit of that.
Yeah, I've been enjoying that, too. That just reminded me of some reason. But, yeah, because they're more interesting stories. It's like, I love Batman, and I'll read a Batman story every now and then. But, you know, Batman's always going to have certain types of stories. You can't do a Batman story...
where he's the last man on Earth.
Yeah.
Him and his monkey.
Yeah, and then there's a bunch of women. A little monkey in a Robin outfit.
The world is just inherited by women, like Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
And then everything's boring.
Mm-hmm. Because everybody just sits around and talks about their feelings.
Everywhere you go is The View.
No, every TV show is The View. This is horrible. Oh my god, I would not want to live in that world.
Oh, we're on our way.
Kill myself. We're not on our way. Well, I think that's about 45 minutes is about good for a longer podcast.
Hey.
Thanks for... Oh, did you have something more you wanted to say?
No, I was just saying this.
You can't believe we did 45 minutes.
Yeah, that was pretty crazy.
Yeah, I know. We usually... My other podcast, we usually go like an hour, hour and a half, like with the other dudes on Warp Whistle. Yeah, Mario.
Plug.
Yeah. But yeah, dude, thanks for coming and talking about this. You're welcome to, like, if you ever have a book or anything you want to talk about, just let me know, because, like, this is only the second episode. I don't have a lot of ideas for episodes until, like, I get guests and stuff. Otherwise, it's just me talking on here. Yeah. And I know some people probably like to sit around and, like, masturbate while I'm talking.
I've been doing it this whole time.
This whole time? You were, like, the fifth person I've interviewed is, like, the whole time we've been talking, I've been masturbating on this tape. Like, not for this podcast, but, like,
swapping stories in the green room about it.
You're swapping stories while I'm swapping fluids under the table. But yeah, man, thanks for coming and talking. Everybody, I don't know when this is going to be up on iTunes because it's pending right now. I was talking to Jordy about the one guy at iTunes who has to listen to every podcast and decide whether or not it should be in the iTunes store. I am hosting through Podbean, and this will probably be on sequentialreview.com pretty shortly. But thanks for listening, everybody, and thanks very much to my friend Jordy for coming on as a guest.
Yeah, dude.
Yep, and anytime you want to come on, just let me know. You got a book or something you want to talk about. You've got an open spot right there. I will save that chair for you. I will not let any other fucking bitches sit in that
Nobody
chair.
Nobody better sit in this chair, man.
No chick. Not even a chick is going to convince me, like, to sit in that chair. She'll be like, I'll go on a date with you or talk to you for 5 minutes. And be like, not no deal.
That's tempting.
That's Jordy's chair. And on that, I'm going to bid you all adieu. Thanks for tuning in. Talk to you soon.